This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
216-474-0092, that's the number to call. Let's talk a little bit more, though, about what's going on tomorrow night. Game 2, Miami Heat and your Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers up 1-0 in the first round NBA series. Let's get a little bit more insight from a friend of the show. He is Tommy Tai. He is from the Miami Heat Radio Network, and right now he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tommy, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Tommy!
Wait. Hold on, Andy. Wait, Jeff can't say anything. Am I eligible for those 4 tickets to the Rockets? Because I don't even know what sport you're talking about. But I want to get in on them.
Monsters, Rockets, Marlies. It's all
Monsters,
the same.
Okay, Monsters, Rockets. Okay, got it.
Well, can he win, Dan?
When's the game?
Tommy, if you want to go to the game, I will get you tickets.
You can.
I will make sure you can.
Yeah, we'll hook you up. Come on to town.
I'll be free on Tuesday morning next week.
Wow. Wow.
I was going to make you the emergency goalie, but now that you know you have the spare time, you're good to go.
I'm good to go.
Wow. So assuming based on what you just said, what I'm very curious to see what you saw in game one and what you learned.
To be honest with you, I think that Cavaliers got exactly where they wanted to go as often as they did offensively. And I'm not just talking about your secret weapon that you had in the latter stages of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. I'm talking about all night long that Garland and Mitchell made it easy for themselves to get inside the lane and score as often as they did. They shot 76%. Those two guys and Jerome, 76%. And we're not even talking about the threes that they made and some of the other great adjustments that they made to know what they were able to do against Miami in this series. So I'm looking at it that way, that it's going to be very difficult if Miami allows those two guys to pretty much dictate exactly what they want, because a lot of you guys didn't play as well as I know they can play. Hunter, Strus, Mobley, Allen, and you still ended up winning the game by 21, even though it was a lot closer than it was. But I still get that feeling that if you don't slow those two guys down, it could be in for a very quick series.
Tyler Hero didn't play the way he can play, though, Tommy. What does that do for Miami?
Absolutely. But the fact is, you know, you guys figured something out. I know Evan Mobley said this back in Miami in January. He said the main factor that you have to do to slow them down after Jimmy left the club was that you keep Duncan and you keep Tyler off the line. Phenomenal job of doing that in the second half of the game. But not only that, they kept Wiggins down too. He and Hero combined for 8 points. Miami's not going to be too competitive in any game when those two guys are not scoring at all. And I think if you keep channeling your defense in that general direction and let Bam try to do what Bam wants to do, he'll be effective, but he won't be enough to really do the job against your club.
Tommy, I brought this up yesterday. Maybe I was just trying to be a nice guy. I do expect that this next game to be a little bit closer, but I think, you know, that watching the game on Friday night against Atlanta, I thought it was a great game to watch, and I kept saying to myself, oh, the Cavs are going to be the biggest benefactor out of this game because they go to overtime. And, you know, Miami really had to work hard to get that win. How much do you think that game played into game one?
It could have. I'm not quite sure. But I do remember this. Many, many times I've watched NBA games of teams in similar situations, even before they had that play-in, whatever it was. Let's say it was the first round going into the second round. They'd play that last game on a Friday night, whether it was a game 6 or game 7. And the other team, the better club, the higher-seeded team, was in a position. They're sitting there waiting for 4 or 5 days. With the Heat back in 2013, they waited 8 at one point for a series to be over, and they were sluggish to start the thing off. That's what impressed me most about Cleveland, that they played as well as they did for having so much time off. But you're right, maybe the emotional aspect of playing those two close games against Chicago, a team they hadn't beaten all year, and Atlanta in their building, might have taken something out of them. The one thing I will say that's in Miami's favor, Eric Spoelstra, those adjustments with 2 days off, as well as anybody in the league. So I think I get an idea that this game, just like last year when they played Boston in the first round and got their lunch handed to them in the first game, beat them in the second game because Tyler played so much better. I think you're going to see a much closer game throughout than you saw in game number one.
Tommy Tighe joining us from the Miami Heat Radio Network. And Tommy is as good as it gets when it comes to doing sports on the radio. And I'm not just blowing smoke, Tommy. You're terrific. Answer me this one, my friend.
Could you say that again, Jeff? Hold on. A few people here didn't hear that.
Yeah, we'll record that one.
I don't know who I am anyway.
We'll send that out.
Hang on. Can we three-way call his boss into this thing so we can get some money out of it? Come on, Jeff.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Tommy, do you expect Kevin Love to play in this series? He's out for personal reasons.
Gosh, I wish I could answer that, to be honest with you, Jeff. And if I knew how difficult the situation was,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I really don't know. As much as he enjoys the game, I think he's only suited up one time, if I remember correctly, in the last month. And there have been a couple of times that he's made trips, including to one of the play-in games, and then had to leave right away. It's got to be a very difficult situation for him. So, I can't say what it would be, but because I'd be guessing, just like anybody else.
Yeah, we have no idea here. That's
yeah,
for sure.
To be honest with you, I don't see it happening. I really don't. And that's unfortunate. As much as we like the guy so much and what he's done for the game, what he's done for this organization in the 2 years that he's been here, it's just really difficult, whatever it might be.
Yeah, it was interesting because Kate had put out that picture. You know, did they have the baby or not? We love the family, and I'm just sending good thoughts no matter what's going on. That's all. And that's really
the only thing I definitely knew was that when he came back from the All-Star break, he was mentioning about, you know, I had to do this and I had to do that, but we didn't know whatever this or that was. He was not specific on what he said. So I can't speculate really.
Yeah. I don't want to speculate either. I just want to anybody who's listening, please just, obviously Kevin's going through something right now and we want to make sure that we're sending him good thoughts, right?
Absolutely.
Just we're sending him good thoughts. So let's talk about the Eastern Conference a little bit more. How far away do you think the Cavs are from Boston and how else do you like the way the Eastern Conference is shaking out for the playoffs here?
Well, I think Orlando's in a similar position as Miami is. They can give Boston a game for a point, as we saw in the first half the other day when they were within one going to the third quarter. Next thing you know is Boston puts the defense down. Orlando did a fabulous job on Tatum and Brown, but I think you're going to have that problem through the whole four games. Eventually they'll wake up, and I think maybe you'll get it to six at the most, and I think I'm being kind in saying that Orlando can carry it that much. So if Boston moves on from there, I'm very interested to see. I remember when I was on with you guys the last time, I thought Milwaukee was the wild card in this whole thing. How healthy is Lillard if he gets back on the court tonight? I know he said at the shoot-around he's ready to go, but the team is still listing him as questionable. If he can play well and they get by Indiana, I still worry about them because of who they have in the middle, number 34. But, you know, otherwise, the Knicks in Detroit, I think that's going the wire, to be honest with you. I give Detroit an awful lot of credit last night. After blowing the big lead and then having the game tied in the fourth quarter, that they came back and made the plays that they had to make. So I think that's a wash between those guys. And the other series, well, it's kind of hard to say. I really don't know where this is going to go as far as Cleveland-Miami is concerned. I'd like to think Miami could be competitive throughout the entire series, but I couldn't even take a guess on how long that thing's going to go. But I do like Cleveland-Boston, to be honest with you. I always have throughout the course of the season. And I do get a good idea that's going to be a great series if and when it happens, starting sometime in May.
Tommy, I think it's an interesting thing that the Cavaliers have tried to put together here. And I've talked about this too much, probably. The two small guards, two bigger guys inside with Allen and Mobley. And then on the wing, they've just kind of kept their fingers crossed and tried to put guys out there that can do the job. Do you like the build of the team? And do you think a team that's based around two small guards can do some serious damage?
Considering who the two small guards are, yeah, I do. Because of what I've seen throughout the course of time in watching this team grow, And I think the biggest thing that helped you out is that Donovan made the commitment to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And taking away all the speculation that he was thinking of, gee, I want to go back to New York or go someplace else, now he knows he's going to be there. And I think Coach Atkinson's put in the type of system that really makes those guys effective, not only on the offensive end, but on the defensive end as well, that even though there are certain guys on your team that might have limitations in that area, it still gets the best out of everybody, whoever's out there at whatever time they're out there. So I think that even with the, you know, the height disadvantage they might have in certain matchups, I still think, you know, all the parts of the whole will make this club, the sum of its parts, will make this team the type of team that I think can be able to compete with anybody, no questions asked. Unless, of course, Oklahoma City plays like they did against Memphis. Because if they play that fantastic, I don't think anybody's touching them. But I do like Cleveland, even in the series with Boston, no matter who they have out on the court, just by the way they play as a whole.
Tommy, can you kind of take me behind the scenes with Eric Spoelstra as a head coach? Because I remember when he first got there and, you know, the big three were going down there. LeBron was down there. And I'm like, man, I don't think this guy's going to make it to Thanksgiving. And now I sit back, it's 2025, and I look at him and I watch him on the sidelines, and I respect everything that he's done as a coach since. And I look at him and I'm like, man, this guy is really, really good. I see that from the outside. Tell me what it's like on the inside and what makes him a good coach.
Well, I think he's got, first off, the backing of the organization. When we see teams like Denver and Memphis do what they did, Miami doesn't worry about stuff like that. They really don't. And even though I thought JB did a really nice job with you guys in Cleveland, they made the change, even though they were in the position that they were in, to think they can get better. And obviously they have, with Kenny doing a fabulous job with this club. But here there's the stability that you know he's going to be the guy, regardless what happens. They lose 10 in a row in some places late in the season. They probably throw the coach out on the street. You know it's not going to happen here. He could have lost 20 in a row, as hard as that would have been to take. They still have the feeling in here that that's the way it is, and players continue to play for him. I know that sounds cliche, but when you've been doing it for 16 years and they keep buying into what it was, it's not that very first few weeks when he was with LeBron, when LeBron supposedly walked in and said, I want you to come back, Coach Riley. It's not that way. Everybody knows what the system is going to be. Coach Riley is here. Eddie Ellisberg is there, the general manager, and the lieutenants fall in place. Spoelstra will do what he does. And he does a phenomenal job getting everybody ready for each particular game. So even though, you know, it was a difficult situation, Andy, as you mentioned, with Friday coming into Sunday, I mean, I still think he had them ready for the game as little time as there was. But I still get a feeling now you've got two days in between games. I think he's definitely going to have them, if there's such a word, more ready to play in this situation and in game number three. If they lose, it's because they're beaten by a better team, but not because they're not prepared. And I think that's the best thing he does on both ends of the floor.
Tommy Tighe joining us from the Miami Heat Radio Network. Tommy, I can't imagine a sweep in this series. In fact, I'd be surprised if it doesn't go six, because I have such respect for Spoelstra, for Riley, the organization they put together, even though the Heat team's not as talented as some teams in the past. Can the Heat push it to six? Could they push it to seven?
Well, I get paid by the game. If you want to push it to 14, I'll be happy to do it.
We're going to get you 28. How's that sound?
28 sounds fabulous. That's why when I said back in the beginning of the year, well, we're going to cut the preseason game from 8 to 4 or 5. Wait a second. You can't do that. But to answer your question, do I think they can push it to 5? Absolutely. Do I think 6? Yeah, I think there's a puncher's chance they could get into 6. I thought that before the series. Okay. But I think you're asking a little bit too much to make it a 7-game series. I think Cleveland is just so talented in so many different ways. And if you continue to have players like Ty Jerome come up and play like he did, I don't care who it is, if it's Sam Merrill in the next game, or it's, bring back who, Luther Rackley for a game, we'll see what happens. I do just get that feeling that Cleveland just has so much, and they're the type of team that has moved the right way, losing in the first round, get to the second round, and they're just getting themselves, I wouldn't say pacing themselves, but getting themselves ready to be that type of championship team they envisioned when the season started.
Luther Rackley reference. That's bonus points right there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Tommy, you buttered us up. Now we think the Cavs are going to be, at least they'll take this in five. So, and when Miami comes back in this, we're going to have to come back and go, oh, man, you made us, we lost our guard. We put our guard down because of you, Tommy. Thank you.
Yeah, my condolences on that one. And give me those tickets, whatever sport that was.
It was still hockey, and you're going to be the emergency goalie. Just...
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you know that.
And you can do that by clicking the rewind function on the Odyssey app. It's brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose Click Cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com, and you can listen back to any of our segments from the past 72 hours. And why wouldn't you want to?
Of course, especially if you missed anything.
Sure.
Like our great segment on the kid that turned down $750,000 in NIL, the high school kid.
Was that a great segment?
I thought it was amazing. And Jeff, the insight you gave during that segment makes me just want to do this for another 13 years. I'm feeling all the love that's coming in. Now that you sit in this other seat and I literally have to look at you eye to eye, rather than I could hide behind the computer when I didn't.
Which I always tried to do, lower my chair as much as possible.
I know, same thing with me. Yep. I don't know if I can. Can we? Oh, you know, I actually could move this computer, but then I'd probably be blocking the camera, so I don't want to do that.
I could get our little plexiglass screens that we used to have.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And I could paint them. I could paint them black.
We could do that.
And then we wouldn't have to look at each other.
It would be such a better show, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Never before have two men with a face for radio excelled at that standard. Thank you.
Speak for yourself. And I see you are.
Sorry, that made me cough. I was laughing for it. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. 216-474-0092. Ed McCaffrey is going to join us here in just a few moments. We're going to talk about the NFL draft with him. And obviously, he's got so many different angles that not only did he play, right? He had 565 receptions for 7,422 yards and 55 touchdowns in his career. But then just look what his sons have been able to do, especially Christian, and then his other son, Luke. So, I mean, when you talk about, you know, understanding the draft from all angles, Ed McCaffrey is going to join us here in just a few moments, and he'll break it down and he'll give us the lowdown on what he sees and how things are going there. Plus, John Schumann's going to join us at 1 o'clock. He is from NBA.com, so we'll get a little bit more insight into the Cavaliers and the Miami Heat as that gets set to go here very soon. So, Ed has now moved to 120. Oh, how about that? So,
well, there you go.
So he'll be after John Schumann. So John Schumann at 1, Ed McCaffrey coming up at 12:20. We also had Mary Kay Cabot on with us a little bit earlier in the show at 11 o'clock. And, you know, we talked about the insight into what the Browns are actually probably going to do in this draft. And doesn't it just feel like Travis Hunter is the man? Like, I don't even think that there's any debate. And I think everything kind of got squashed yesterday when we started talking about Travis and, you know, is he going to be the man? And is there anybody that thinks that isn't true at this point?
I would think so.
I think it comes down to two things. It comes back to this morning's report on ESPN saying that the Giants and the Browns are fielding phone calls. And so it's either, it's, to me, it kind of feels like it's Travis Hunter or trade. And I don't know that
does
trade
it really?
Is, but I just think the Browns would have to have their just the socks knocked off on some kind of trade. And I also think that they wouldn't want to leave the top six spots in the draft. How do you see it? I think they're pretty again, this is all speculation, but I think they're pretty set in what they're going to do, and I think they have been for weeks.
I'll give you an admission here just between you and me.
Oh, good.
Travis Hunter scares me.
Why?
6 foot, 188 pounds. Wide receivers usually don't go two. Corners usually don't go two. I don't know that part-time play at one of those positions, I'm assuming it's corner if he'd be the Browns, makes him worthy of the second pick. And I just keep looking at Abdul Carter, and I know he's had some off-the-field stuff that is a little bit of a concern, but I keep looking at Abdul Carter and thinking, well, that guy's looking at a 10-year career, 12-year career, and five trips to the Pro Bowl. And I just keep thinking, that's a much safer pick. Because I'm assuming that his level of play is going to be really high.
Isn't Will Campbell, too, on the offensive line?
Yeah, but
there's nothing
I'm,
sexy about that, but you could find yourself with an offensive lineman for the next 7 to 10 years, too?
I'm not going to do that, though, if I'm this team. I do think I would roll the dice slightly on Hunter if they think he's that good, that his ball skills are that good, and that he can be that effective. I'm just not a huge, huge, huge fan of smaller wide receivers. I like bigger, stronger wide receivers myself. Doesn't mean Travis Hunter couldn't be phenomenal for a really long time, because he could be. But I just think, man, they better be right on that guy. And I mean, everybody says he's an incredible talent. And, you know, if you watch his video, other than when he pushes off, which was frequently in most of the video I saw, he's really good. He's really good once he gets that ball in his hands. And, you know, I would understand the Browns taking him. But I just keep looking at Abdul Carter and I think, well, that just looks easy.
It does look easy.
And
but
the idea of Miles and Carter together just appeals to me.
I laugh when I think about it because it appeals to me too. And I love the thought of Abdul Carter and Miles Garrett together. I just think that when you see them standing next to each other, and I, you know, at some point you will, you'll be like, wow, Miles is a lot bigger.
Well, Miles is
than
a
Abdul
freak.
He is.
Miles
he
is the Michelin man.
And that's why, like, I think people would be underwhelmed when they saw Carter just because, and you shouldn't be, but when you see him next to Miles Garrett, you'd be like, ooh, I don't know about that. But Carter's ability to get to the quarterback, just to watch him in college play in big games, in college, and to see what he's able to do and how he disrupted the game and how he disrupted offenses on the other side of the ball from Penn State was impressive. So much so that, I mean, I can't stop thinking about watching Abdul Carter when I think about him playing college football, that he was that good. And I think you're right, Jeff. He's going to have a long career in the NFL. You know, he just doesn't make the same kind of splash that, you know, an offensive player would. That's the problem with the whole thing. I mean, we can sit here and we can talk about Miles Garrett till we're blue in the face, but Miles still doesn't get us into the end zone for a team that's averaging just over 15 points per game,
which is
the worst in the NFL, and it's more than a touchdown less than the number three team in the AFC North.
If you could add a premier player to a defense that we think will be better than it was last year and was really good the year before that, with Miles, who's under contract now for an extended period of time, and Mike Hall, who looks like he could be the real deal at tackle. My guess is they'll bring in another tackle yet. If JOK can come back, if, you know, Denzel, MJ, Greg Newsom, if he's still here. I mean, that defense could be really good, Andy. And then I'd like to say find yourself a playmaker at wide receiver, but this organization hasn't had a good track record of that in recent years. So, you know, and that makes me wonder about Travis Hunter as well.
Yeah, there's another point. And Dan, listen to this one too. We've been sitting here for months talking about what we think the Browns are going to do it to. and where they're going. And as we settle in just, you know, 2 days before the
we're
draft.
We're still perplexed.
I do think that most people think they're going to take Travis Hunter. And, you know, I think they are. And Dan brought this up earlier that fans want to just, you know, dig their boots into the ground on who they want. I just don't feel like Browns fans are all in on one guy. Like, they have to take so-and-so. Otherwise, this is a mistake. I think we're all over the board on this. I think if they take Travis Hunter, Browns fans will be okay with it. If they took Abdul Carter, I think Browns fans would be okay with it. I think if they took Shedeur Sanders, there is a good chunk of Browns fans that would be good with it. No problem. If they took Ashton Jeanty, people would be like, oh, my God, wow, we have a running back for the future, and there's no question about it. I don't feel like Browns fans are like their heart is into one player and one player only because of the debates we have on the air with fans. I don't feel it. Like, I don't, that energy's not here. I also think a part of it has to do with the fact that we haven't had a first round pick in the last 3 years.
I think there's a lot of things at play. I think what you're saying is right. And of course, you know, you get a lot of that stuff via the internet as well. And you go on Twitter and it's just a cesspool. So, you know, everybody digs their feet in on everything and yells at you. And if you disagree with them, you're the dumbest person that's ever walked this earth. You know, it's borderline like the Browns Twitter side of thing has turned into politics where it's like, I believe what I believe and I will listen to nothing else besides what I believe. And so I think some of that might be seeping into it. I feel like, you know, you're talking callers. I feel like callers are maybe a little bit more open-minded than what's being there. But the thing that we're forgetting in all of this, too, is that we now have a track record of how Andrew Berry likes to think. And we have a track record of draft picks that Andrew Berry has picked. And maybe that's where we need to look.
And Dano, it's not been good.
No, but you can at least pick up tendencies. You know, you could see some of the tendencies. So, like, one of the things that's always stood out to me is young freak athletes. He loves young freak athletes. Michael Hall was young. JOK was young. David Njoku was young. Young is a thing that they look for.
Yeah, but David didn't draft. They didn't draft David. But
they signed him to a long-term contract and kept him here for a period of time when a lot of people were thinking, really want to hand that guy that money?
Is there a no-brainer? That's my other question here, too. Is there really a no-brainer for the Browns at two? I don't think there is.
I do.
What is it?
Abdul Carter.
Now, I said that for weeks. And then, again,
I'm not sure. Andy, I'm not sure he's the right pick for them. But I do think he's the closest thing to a no-brainer at two. Don't you? Unless you wanted to go off the board and go offensive lineman, like you said.
You could go Will Campbell, and I think you'd be. It's a safe pick.
Or Mason Graham, defensive tackle.
Yeah, either way, I think you could probably go. But
I do think just because of all the talk about two-way and wide receiver not being, you know, worthy at two and blah blah blah, there's a little bit of a with Travis Hunter.
Is there? I don't know. I get that feeling. The phone lines are packed. 216-474-0092. Hang on if you can't get in. I'm going to ask you this again next segment. We'll talk about it here. I'll take one phone call real quick. But, I mean, is there a guy that you're saying they have to take, can't believe it if they don't? Like, who do Browns fans really want? I think we're kind of forced ourselves into Travis Hunter this week. And it's only been the past 5 days. We'll take one phone call quick, and then I will take more on the other side of the break. But Patrick and Hudson. Go ahead, Patrick.
Gentlemen, what's going on? Thanks for having me. Cannot wait for Thursday. Can't wait to finally just have our answer, and then we can go discuss who we took. But, man, I'm all aboard Travis Hunter. I can see the draw to Abdul Carter, but in my opinion, I see Justin Jefferson out of him. I think the way that guy attacks the football – is just special. You know, I don't think that you see many guys that understand how he sees a ball in the air and he says, that's mine. I'm also very excited that we moved on from quarterback at two. I don't think a QB is really worthy at two unless it's Cam Ward. And I'm excited for a project even at 33. So I think if they want to roll with Flacco, they're going to let Flacco start the year, in my opinion. And I'm all aboard Travis Hunter, man.
All right, Patrick and Hudson, thank you very much. I think the Kenny Pickett argument is going to get stronger although let's see. Let's see where they draft a quarterback in this draft, because we all know they're going to do it. The question is when. But who are you all in on? Like, Who you're going to wake up Friday and go, I can't believe they didn't take my guy. You serious? 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. A question before we went to the break. Who are you down with here? Who are you down with? Who do you really want the Browns to take? I mean, a pretty simple question, but I like don't feel and haven't had the vibe that everyone's like, oh, okay, Travis Hunter. Okay, sounds good. We're good with it. Oh. Shedeur Sanders, yeah, they need a quarterback. Okay, good. Okay, we can do that. Cam Ward, oh, if he doesn't go first, yeah, I'd love to have him. But, like, I don't feel the energy. I don't feel the excitement. And will there be energy and excitement? Do we need Journey to get us pumped up on Thursday to make sure that we're all excited about who they pick in the draft?
I don't know, Andy. Just don't stop believing. I think the team's got a great chance.
Are we really going to go back and forth on Journey songs? Is that really what you want to do?
All right, gentlemen, can I give you a little bit of news?
No, the question is, are we going to welcome this first pick with open arms, or are we just going to go separate ways? What are we doing?
I just hope they're not all strung out.
Oh, who's crying now? Who's crying now, man? After all these years, who's crying now? All right, any way you want
it,
go ahead.
Even though it's a Steve Perry solo.
It doesn't matter. Any way you want it, Menigan, go ahead.
I just hope they're not all strung out.
Just whatever you do.
All of you, stop.
Don't be passionate. Be faithfully about it.
Whenever a big-time band does, you know, something like a ballad like Open Arms or something, it's like, why'd you do that? Like, I Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore by REO. What were they thinking?
Jeff, it's all just one big wheel in the sky. It's not a big deal.
Take some calls.
All right, a little bit of news before you get there, gentlemen. The Cleveland Browns have just sent this out via Twitter. 2025, let's get it. So great to see Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah back at Cross Country Mortgage Campus.
Oh, boy.
All right.
That's good. Yeah, I think that's really good news. As I said, I don't know. None of us know.
Is there video, too, or no?
Nope. Just a tweet that's what it says.
All right, good for them. All right, good. JOK, we need him back.
Well, we'll find out details.
Yeah.
He might be back visiting and having lunch. Hopefully that's not the case.
Do you know what they were serving today?
Anything they want.
You sure?
Yep.
I'm just making sure. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here, too, because I do want to find out. Who are we down with? Who do you want? Nelson's in Avon Lake. Hi, Nelson. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Nelson.
Jeff, I agree with you, man. You know, I was doing some Googling. The last time a wide receiver was taken number two overall in the draft, you got to go back to 2003.
Charles Rogers.
The Lions. Charles Rogers, and the guy was out of the league in 3 years. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, Travis Hunter will be out of the league in 3 years, but I'm a big, big believer in competition, and I don't doubt that he's a phenomenal athlete, but let's be honest, right? As far as the competition that he played in college, it'll be a huge step up in the pros. I'm telling you, I think we're in for a surprise. I do believe a trade will be coming. I think the Browns likely will stay, you know, in that top six, seven. I like Mason Graham. I think he has the makings of a guy that you can just plug in your lineup and he'll be there for the next, I don't know, you know, 5 to 10 years. I like the kid from Penn State, but let's not forget, he is a converted linebacker, moved to the outside. So he's a little slighter built. I think he has potential. But
have you watched him? Have you seen Abdul Carter? Have you watched him live in the game?
No, not live in the game.
Just go back and watch him. You'll be like, I don't know. These things that people might be hung up on, there might be wrong.
He looks pretty disruptive, Nelson.
He is unbelievably disruptive. Not once have I thought, oh, they moved his position. Not once.
If they took him, I wouldn't lose any sleep. I'm not saying don't take him. But to me, I think Mason makes sense. But if they go with Abdul, I'll be happy with that. I'm a little nervous. Like,
yeah, well, you probably should settle in on Travis Hunter, though, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it looks that way, but I'm going to be nervous, man. I'm going to be really nervous.
All right, well,
thanks, guys.
Enjoy the party. Have fun, Nelson. Thank you for calling in. We do appreciate you. Marcus is in Aurora. Hi, Marcus. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm doing good. I hope you're doing well.
You too.
The Browns need to find a pick that the fans are stone in love with. But don't Journey, stone in love.
I know, right? I'm with you. Dan's just laid on the...
I took a sip of water, Marcus. I'm sorry.
You're with the program.
Listen, I like Hunter. His conditioning is off the charts. You got to really be press with that, but I think somebody is going to trade up to get the running back, maybe, because he's getting more and more hype.
Genty.
Ashton Genty.
Yeah, Genty. I think it's possible. And if the Browns could trade back a few picks, and if they think Hunter's going to be Justin Jefferson, maybe they should take him. But personally, I would trade back, and if I could get McMillan at 6'5" as a receiver, because I love big receivers. And, you know, a lot of guys are comparing him to Mike Evans. And
I don't think he's that thick, though. I don't think he's quite that big.
No, he's not as thick, yeah, but he's still – I mean, I watched him play a little bit, and he made some great catches. He's got great catch radius, as they say.
Yeah.
And the other issue with Carter is maybe he might get re-injured and miss part of the season, but there's no question that
– The Browns doctor said he passed all the physical. So isn't that what –
Well, that's good.
That's what they said at the press conference. So.
Well, that's – then maybe they should take him. But I'll tell you one thing that people aren't talking about. You know, he's a dual threat, even if he's not – they say, oh, he's not that big. But people aren't even considering his skills as a coverage player. And he demonstrated that he can cover some people too. And I think people are overlooking that. Hmm. But I still think if they get the right call, they're going to trade back, because I think someone wants to move up to take one or Genty or one or two other players. So if the Browns could end up with a first round pick next year, I think they make the deal for sure.
All right. So I'm going to put you down. So Marcus, just real quick, trade is what you think is going to happen? Trade. Just give me one word. That's all I need.
I think a trade's going to happen.
All right, yes, Marcus, trade. All right, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. I'm going to start writing down what people think.
It's not Thursday yet.
Why can't I do it? No, it's today. I'm going to keep this sheet for the next couple days. I mean, really,
Andy, you can't find paper we gave you 5 minutes ago. How are you going to keep a paper for 3 days?
What did you give me 5 minutes ago? I missed that.
Exactly.
I can't find it. I'm looking for it.
I made Dan laugh.
Help me. Henry is in Strongsville. Hi, Henry.
Trying to be nice.
Hey, guys. Afternoon.
Afternoon to you.
Hi, Henry.
Me personally, if Carter's healthy, I'm taking him all day long.
Carter, I'm just giving you his vote.
My philosophy is really simple. We keep trying to. Everyone knows the AFC goes through Mahomes in Kansas City. Two teams have given us the blueprint on how to beat them, and it's your D line's got to be better than their O line. The Eagles showed it. Tampa Bay showed it. Tampa Bay could have scored 10 points in that Super Bowl and beat them. You rush four. You drop seven, and it disrupts him, and it literally made him look pedestrian. You know, Buffalo has been trying to get a quarter. You know, they keep trying to out-duel Mahomes with Allen, and look how far that's gotten him. Carter's size, correct me if I'm wrong, Micah Parsons beefed up to his size. Is that correct?
I do believe that's correct.
And if I'm the Browns, I am building up my D-line. The 15 points will take care of itself because my defense is going to shut it down. People say, oh, that's old school 80s. But the two teams that have showed you how to beat Mahomes, I don't understand why more teams aren't following that or prescribing to that. And if you've got –
for the Browns, it's because they can't get to the playoffs because they can't get to 20 points. I know what you're saying.
How many games did DTR play? Our quarterback play was so atrocious.
Oh, I agree. I'm not arguing with you on that. I think you're 100% right. But the last three games, and I guess you get into DTR here too, the last three games of the season, they averaged 6 points a game. Six. This is the hard part. I like Abdul Carter. And up until.
Yeah, I do too.
10 days ago, I would have said Abdul Carter every time.
You had been.
Everywhere.
And then I just kept saying to myself,
and then I was like, how can a team that can't really average even two touchdowns a game even think about drafting someone on defense?
Especially a team that hasn't added on offense very much. Keep that in mind. Not that you're going to rebuild your offense in free agency, but Andy, they still need wide receivers. They still need running backs. They still need a tight end.
I'm going to ask you this here in a second, too. The daily double. So let's just say you stay at 2-33. What's the daily double look like for you? Is it Hunter? Is it Monroe? Is that your daily double? I don't know. I'm just because there are plenty of people that really want to do that. Dave and Willoughby is one of them. Hi, Dave.
You guys aren't going to agree with me. I'll tell you that right now. But I will take Carter at 2.
I can agree with that.
Way, Now, what you won't agree with is I'll try to trade back into the first round and take Mason Graham also. And the reason is because Philly is a great example. We'll have a front four that nobody in the league will stop. There's a lot of depth this year with receivers and running backs. The rest of the draft, I would load up on receivers and running backs.
But what are you going to have left to get back up?
It's not supposed to be a great draft for wide receivers, but it is supposed to be for running backs.
Where are you drafting Mason Graham? That's my question.
You'd have to trade up to the top 10. Wouldn't you, Dave? Yeah.
Most of the mocks I'm looking at say yes.
Yes, yes. But I'm thinking that's something that's going to – we're going to have the baddest – how is anyone going to stop Myles Garrett when you got them two? You got healthy guys coming back. I know we have to work on the offense, but Cedric Tillman I thought looked pretty good last year. He'll be back. Jerry Jeudy looked great. We can get a receiver. You guys brought up Amari Cooper earlier. I think if we had that front four and follow Philadelphia's lead, I mean, them guys didn't even have to blitz. Didn't have to blitz against the Chiefs. And I think that would be just a wrecking crew. I'm listening to what you guys have to say.
All right, Dave, thank you. Appreciate it. If they draft Abdul Carter at number two, I'd be the happiest guy on earth. I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
I'll tell you what, Andy.
A team that can't find the end zone's got to do something on offense here with your top pick. You've got to try to find the top offensive player in the draft. How do you not?
Well, the top offensive player in the draft might be a running back.
I don't disagree with that. So maybe even if you – and you know what? If they took Gentry at two, I wouldn't freak out. I'm going to tell you that.
Either.
I'm not freaking out.
See, that's – though we're all thinking Hunter or Abdul Carter – maybe Mason Graham, who I don't think they'd take it to. Man, if they think Genty is going to be a big-time running back, and if they think, that's part of it, for 5 to 8 years, I don't know how you go wrong there. I mean, you need playmakers on the offense. Playmaker doesn't really have a position, does it, Andy?
No.
I would think wide receiver, tight end, or running back.
Yes.
Yeah, those are playmakers.
A.K.A. guys who cross goal line.
Bingo.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. We'll continue on with this. I'm going to ask you the question. How can a team that averages 15.2 points per game, 6 in the last 3 games of the season, even think about taking someone on defense with that number 2 pick? We'll talk about that. Plus, we've got Ed McCaffrey and John Schumann joining us here in just a few moments. So we'll talk about all those things.